Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Jay, that makes 14 straight Big 12 conference titles for Bill Self. Just how big is this?
Well, for starters, it has never been done in the history of college basketball.
Bringing you all of the KU Jayhawk scoop, straight from the players, coaches, and recruits.
JK, I understand you've got some breaking news for us?
I do. I've just learned that Les Miles and his staff have landed another big recruit.
For all of the latest news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. Now, here's the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. The whole team's here today, and we're going to cover the latest in Kansas Jayhawks football and basketball. Plus, we've got a special guest, one of the nation's leading experts on college football. The man, Phil Steele, will join us today to preview the 2019 season. I'm going to welcome in the other members of the crew, Shea Wildebor and John Kirby. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing well, man. I'm ready for some of the relief. It's too hot.
We need some air. Can't believe how nice it is today, though.
Right?
Compared to what we've had, this feels like fall, and it's still like, what, 92?
My grass needs some water. I don't have one of those sprinkler systems like the old curb dog. I need some water.
Well, you got some last night.
Man, it did. It poured a bunch. We got hit pretty hard downtown, too, and we weren't expecting it. I know a lot has been going on with everything, not just with the crazy weather around here lately in the Midwest, but there has been a ton of news with football and basketball, both on and off the court. One of the biggest things, though, and this is one of the biggest pieces of news for KU fans in quite a few years, I think. How about Jeff Long getting beer into the stadium, pulling off something that I think all of us probably did at least once or twice during our undergrad, but making it so everybody can actually buy beer in the stadium? I think it's a huge move, and I thought it was really funny. Right after it was announced, Kirby tweeted right back at Jeff asking, you know, would there be beer in the press box? I thought that was, John, that was pretty good work right there.
Well, the funniest part was when Long tweeted back and said he thought there already was. he said he thought there was already beer in the press box, and I know he was joking, but boy, can you imagine that? Can you imagine how lively the stories would be if there was some beer in the press box? There'd be some entertaining articles.
You know, it's funny, as a broadcast journalism grad from KU, all I can think about is, you know, Tom Hedrick still hangs around in the press box on game days. And Tom's a pretty colorful guy, but, you know, you get a couple pops flowing, get some people a little bit sauced up. I think his stories would get even better after all these years. Well, now that we've talked a little bit about that, let's get serious. It's time to get into some men's basketball with Shea Wildebor. Shea, since our last podcast, we have had two new additions to the commitment list. A lot of news on the recruiting trail for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. Tell us about Trey White and DeJuan Harris, who committed to Self and his crew here in the last few weeks.
Yeah, the first one, you know, I think the one that a lot of Kansas fans are excited about is DeJuan Harris, the 6'1 point guard, originally from Columbia, Missouri, committed to Missouri State, signed with Missouri State. Got out of that letter of intent, and the plan is now to enroll in Sunrise Christian Academy down the street in Bel Air, Kansas, near Wichita. Here's the thing. The plan is to reclassify and be a member of the 2019 class. I know that's what he wants. He's working frivolously to get that done. I hope I said that correctly. You know, he obviously wants to be a part of this class. At this point, Randy, I just don't know if that's going to happen. And even if it does, it could be a situation where maybe they get him in, they redshirt him. I'm just going over all the possibilities that I've heard. Redshirt him and then, you know, bring him in next year to play, and just kind of let him get his You know, let him learn under Devon and some of those other guys. But yeah, he's a guy. Listen, he just stepped into the Peach Jam last week and guided Mo Cannelly to a Peach Jam championship, which is about as difficult as anything to do in summer basketball. I mean, you just don't walk in and win that. I mean, you've got to go through some cats that have been through it before. And I think he averaged about 7.2 assists per game when head-to-head with some of the nation's top guards and more than held his own. So this is a guy that is absolutely going to have an impact on this program. It's just a matter of when. Truthfully, at least at this stage, I'm not sure that that's going to happen in 2019. I'm not going to close the door on it because, as you guys know, especially when it comes to Kansas basketball recruiting, anything is possible. There's nothing that can't happen or won't happen. I would be surprised if that happens. But it's certainly something that he hopes to achieve this year. Again, there's a lot of unknowns, but what Kansas does have is a point guard that is eventually going to, leave his mark on this program without any question. Secondly, I was talking with this earlier today with Kirby. I was thinking 2021, but it's 2022 Trey White, 6'6", kind of shooting guard, small forward, originally was in a Little Elm, with R.J. Hampton, made the move now. He's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Washington High School. And he's going to be a guy, and it's so hard to project down the line, when you're talking about 2022, a guy that's really going to be able to hit some shots for Kansas. I think a guy that's going to be able to, create space. He's going to stretch the defense with his ability to shoot. I think he's going to be able to score from all three levels. That's kind of what I see now. Now, what happens in 3 years? You can never really know for sure, but I think he's going to be a guy once he adds a little bit of a muscle. I mean, he's long. I know we've got him. Rivals has got him at 6'5". I've heard more like 6'6", 6'7", 180. But a guy definitely that is going to hit some shots for Kansas, a guy that's going to be able to stretch it, put the ball on the floor and attack, and really score from all three levels. So it's been I think people looked back, and a lot of people have asked me on the board, did Coach Self coaching USA Basketball, was that a bad thing? No, I don't think it was a bad thing at all. I think when you look at guys like Matthew Hurt, I think the FBI thing kind of messed with him towards the end there. I think Jeremiah Robinson Earl, when it came down to it, I think he just wanted to blaze his own path. And here you look at it, Kansas has got one of the top recruiting classes in 2019. But they got some guys late, obviously, when, Jalen Wilson leaving. You had a guy like DeJuan Harris. If he is able to make that move to 2019, you're just adding to a roster that's already stacked. So certainly some good news the last few weeks for Bill Self and his staff, no doubt about it.
No question. Now you've had several updates on recruits that Coach Self is looking at in the 2020 class. Kind of wrap those up. Give us your thoughts after, you've had the chance to interview a lot of the players this summer. What you think are the top four or five names to watch, in your opinion, for this upcoming class?
Yeah, well, I think you have to start with Bryce Thompson, obviously, the kid from down the street in Oklahoma. His dad played for Coach Self at Tulsa. He was a guy, Randy. It's a really great story. I mean, he was a guy that, 6 months ago was a top 50, top 60 recruit, had some offers, high major offers at that, but it wasn't, nationally known, from Kansas to Carolina to a lot of those other schools. I mean, this is a kid that blew up. And if my math is correct, he in the last latest updated rankings, jumped 40 spots. He's now number 18, five-star shooting guard, and has really put everything together. I'm recently
40
visited.
40 spots? 40, wow.
Yeah, so you have 18 plus 40 is what I'm – yes, there you go. Thank you. I'm terrible at math. So 40 spots. And this is a kid that just recently visited Carolina. Then after Carolina, came to Kansas again, sat down with Coach Self and his staff. And here's the thing that I think is going to help Kansas in the long run. I made my future cast for him for Kansas, and I'm going to stick by that until I hear otherwise. The thing that Coach Self reiterated with Bryce Thompson and his family is that, hey, we offered you before anybody else did, before you made all this jump up in the rankings, before all these other schools got involved. And I think at the end of the day, that's going to be big. I mean, clearly Kansas saw something in Bryce that very few schools saw, at least blue-blooded schools. And at the end of the day, I think it'll pay off. Dashian Nix, a point guard, number 14th ranked player in the class from Las Vegas, Nevada, Trinity International School. I talked to his I think Handler coach, I think last week told me that no doubt Kansas is going to be one of the schools they visit. They love Kansas. You know, it's a Kansas is a school that's been involved for a long time, offered a long time ago. And the thing is that, you know, Kansas is loading up on guards. You know, they've got already Devon. They've got Isaac McBride. They'll have Marcus Garrett another year. You bring in Dewan. And then a guy like a Nix, I mean, assuming, you know, that's what he ends up doing. I mean, they're going to be set in the backcourt for quite a while. You know, then one spot ahead of him, you've got Isaiah Todd from Trinity High School in Raleigh, North Carolina. The coaching staff conducted an in-home visit with him. Recently, Bill Self was out there, and, you know, he said, you know, Coach Self came out to see me, so I'm going to come out to see him. He's a guy that I would keep my eye on. I mean, obviously, getting out of Carolina you know, that's going to be tough. You got Duke, you've got Carolina, you've got NC State, you've got Wake Forest, you've got all those schools. So that's certainly a guy to keep an eye on. You know, Kyrie Walker, 26th ranked player in the class, another guard, Phoenix, Arizona Hillcrest. There was some talk that he might reclassify to 2019. I don't know if that's going to happen now, but a kid that has always had a ton of interest in Kansas. You know, one guy you really want to watch is Caleb Love, the 32nd ranked player in the class from Christian Brothers College High School, St. Louis, Missouri. You know, I don't know if anybody's been on the board lately, but Eric Bossy dropped a nugget recently talking about where Kansas stands with him. And many in the circle believe that Kansas is the team to beat right now. I mean, this is a guy that's playing extremely well this summer. He's got a lot of interest, a lot of schools involved. You know, again, Kansas was there with that offer. And, you know, he's just a guy that has a ton of interest in Kansas. Now, Randy, the one thing you haven't seen in this class yet, and you're not going to see an abundance of, is big men. You know, KU's in on Henry Coleman from Trinity Episcopal in Richmond, Virginia. Manny Sisisco from Wasatch, Utah Academy, same school as Tristan Inaruna. You know, when I spoke to him last week, he said he was going to definitely visit. You know, was just going to wait to get back. He's currently out of the States or leaving the States in August, and then when he gets back, he's going to sit down and figure out the best date to visit. Yeah, but I mean, those are really the guys right now that you want to keep an eye on.
Wow. Now, with everything that's been happening, I mean, this is a roster that went from having question marks seemingly everywhere just a few months ago to suddenly being absolutely stacked and maybe one of the best in the entire country. How does Bill Self handle the roster numbers as we head into the 2019-2020 season? I mean, who are we looking at potentially that could redshirt? How do you see him putting this thing together?
It's going to be difficult. I sit here and I kind of stumble a little bit, and it's going to be difficult. I think for me, right off the top of my head right now today, I think Mitch Lightfoot is the most likely redshirt candidate. You know, they have just an abundance of bigs. You've got David McCormick. You've got Silvio De Sousa. You've got, you know, big Udoka Azubuike. So right off the top of my head, that would be the one guy that I could see redshirting. You know, aside from that, I really don't know. I know they like Christian Brown. I know they like, obviously, Jalen Wilson, Tristan Inaruna. You know, but you just look everywhere, and they're loaded. I mean, and I know some people have made a case for maybe possibly redshirting Christian Brown. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. From what I've seen from him, you know, during the pickup games, you know, during Bill Self's camp, I mean, the alumni games, I mean, he was a guy that stood out without question. I just saw a picture of him the other day. And you can already tell that he's starting to transform his body. I mean, he's starting to look like a different guy, adding some muscle, adding some weight. And he's just a guy that I've never been one to plug guys. I mean, you never want to put expectations on a guy that's, what, the 90th ranked player in the class. But he's a guy that I could see making some noise. So I don't know how exactly the staff's going to handle it. It wouldn't surprise me to see one or two guys redshirt, and off the top of my head, I think Mitch would be, just based off the bigs, the fact that Silvio is in the clear, the fact that David made the strides he made last year, and that Doak's back. I mean, I think right now he would be the most likely candidate for sure.
Now, you went to the Bill Self camp at alumni game, and I know you talked about Christian Brown and his performance there and just the way that he did really stand out. You know, what were your takeaways after watching players go through those games? I know, obviously, like you said, you mentioned Christian Brown, but who else maybe got your attention that you came away saying, okay, that I didn't expect?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the first and foremost, obviously, Devon, I think, is going to be earlier today, I think I on the message board, I said the top point guard in college basketball. I'm not going to back down from that. You know, I think Doak obviously will be the top big man, assuming he stays healthy. You know, I think Silvio, even though he sat out the last, you know, sat out all last year and then missed some games before, I mean, I think he's going to be a beast. Just looking at, again, the transformation and knowing that he's going into a season and that he's going to be able to play, that there's going to be no, you know, dark cloud hanging over him. I expect him to have a monster season. I do. And I know Ochai Agbaji kind of started out strong, hit that wall, and was really never the same down the stretch. I expect him to have a huge season. I do. I think those two guys are going to be enormous for Kansas. I think you'll see the old Marcus Garrett in terms of his ability to defend and really kind of reestablish himself as the top defender in the Big 12 and one of the top defenders in college basketball. And the new guys, I mean, listen, Jalen Wilson, I know Tristan Inaruna is ranked higher than him, but, you know, the staff was on Jalen Wilson early. He committed to Michigan, signed with Michigan. They had a coaching change. He backed out. I mean, he's going to be a guy, I think, that's going to be able to come in and really hit some shots for you, kind of similar to an Isaiah Moss. I mean, I don't know how many – again, the minutes again – I don't know if Isaiah Moss is going to play 9 minutes or 20 minutes a game. I don't know how it's going to work, but he's going to be able to – a guy that's going to be able to come in and hit some shots for you when you need him. You know, I kind of envisioned, you know, you're at K-State, you know, down five with 3 minutes to go, spread the court. You know, you get guys like Isaiah, guys like Jalen, some open looks, and they're going to hit him. So I think that those guys are going to play big roles as well. I mean, you know, the roster to me, how it all shakes out is going to be interesting because – unlike last year, you know, Coach Self didn't have a lot of options. I mean, he was kind of the hand he was dealt, he was dealt. This year, you know, if he doesn't like what he sees, if guys aren't playing up to what he sees as their potential, he's got a chance to pull some guys. So it's going to be interesting to see because guys, when they're calling, are going to have to perform. And if they don't, there's going to be somebody else waiting to take their spot. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out, man. It's going to be an interesting dynamic with so many bodies, with so much talent and, you know, so many options coming off the bench. It's definitely going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, one of the big topics on social media and on Twitter specifically, the big TBT tournament is going on. And,
oh, yeah.
And one of the teams features a lot of former KU players and Kansas alumni. I know you've been around some of them as they've been trying to really, you know, raise the profile and get more and more people involved. What's that been like?
It's been cool, man. It's kind of, you know, I went up to Jefferson's West last night. I don't want to hear anything from Elijah Johnson about that. I went up to Jefferson's West last night, and it was really, you know, it was a little bit more relaxed than you might have thought. It wasn't like fans waiting out the door, so it was kind of a sense to see the guys in their element. And it was cool, man, that, you know, they had a podcast that Elijah was running. You know, Perry was there. Landon was there, and I had to leave before, and I think the guys showed up like around 5 o'clock. It ended at 6, so I didn't get to see all the guys, but it was cool, man, talking with Perry. You know, the first round of the event is 5 minutes from his house, so he can walk. You know, it's in Wichita, they're in the Wichita region, so he can walk right there. And that's cool for him. And I said, hey, man, are you guys excited about this? I mean, you know, the winner gets $2 million, so each player would get like $180,000. He's like, yeah, man, this is more about basketball. I mean, we got guys out here that want to play with pride, and, you know, we mentioned the Wichita State team, and, you know, we talked about Connor Frankamp and how excited Connor is to get out there, and, you know, those two could, you know, those two teams could eventually meet up, and, you know, he said Connor's shooting the ball well, and so, yeah, it's just cool to see, man, how they're coming together, not only online, but, you know, last night they, you know, you eat dinner, you break bread with fans, you sign autographs, and it's just kind of a relaxed setting. And the guys that had a practice today, they'll practice again tonight is my understanding. I mean, they're going at this like, hey, I mean, if we're going to play, let's play. Let's see if we can get a shot at this $2 million. So it's cool, man. It's cool that they have that they've reached out to the media and that they've been so open to us kind of being around and helping and asking us to help promote. So it's a cool thing, man, to see. And really, I hope they do well, cause I know that they're excited and I know they've been putting in the work and, you know, they're ready to see what happens.
That's really, really cool. Okay, Shay, we're going to wrap up the basketball segment here with a few questions people have posted over on the Allen Fieldhouse Suite message board. Let's just jump right into this. First off, Shay, do you think Isaac McBride will surprise some people and get meaningful minutes this season?
Yeah, Randy, I think he's going to have to. Here's the thing: I'm going to look at DeJuan Harris as a guy that's not going to be in the 2019 class. I mean, he may come in and redshirt, either that or stay in the 2020 class. I'm just not sure there's a situation where he would be come in and ready to play. So yeah. Devon Dotson played a ton of minutes last year. He's absolutely going to need somebody to come in and spell him. You know, you've got Devon, you've got Marcus, and outside of that, I mean, you don't have a lot of guys that are considered on-the-ball guys. So, you know, Isaac McBride is going to have to come in and you know, play the role that when he's called upon. Because, you know, Devon played a ton of minutes last year. I mean, his body kind of wore out and didn't have a lot of time to sit back on that bench and watch the other guys. And so, yeah, I mean, he was full go all year long. And so I think Isaac's the one guy that could come in and spell him from time to time and give him those minutes he needs.
Do you think that Coach Self has made a shift in how he recruits one and done type players?
Shift. No. Here's the thing with Coach Self. I think that he's going to recruit the best players that he sees that fit in with his program. So, no, again, I think people may assume that simply because of the way that things kind of shook out this year with Matthew Hurt and Robinson Earl and Cassius Stanley and some of those other guys. But I think until the rule changes, until the high school kids are allowed to go to the NBA, I think he'll continue to do what he's always done. You guys, listen, we're not having this conversation right now if Matthew Hurt and Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Cassius Stanley and a few other guys are on campus. We're not. It was just a year where, you know, Kansas missed out on some guys. They had to rally late. You know, they got Tristan Inarun late. They got Jalen Wilson late. And you know, it's a situation where they could get a DeJuan Harris late. Even if he doesn't play, you know, he could step on campus and work out with his team and kind of start getting ready for next year. So no, I don't think he's changed anything, and I don't think he will until the rule specifically says that high schoolers can go directly from high school to the NBA. I think he'll continue to do what he's always done.
With that in mind, give me your starting five.
My starting five. All right, my starting five at the beginning of the season will be DeVon Dotson at the one. Marcus Garrett at the two, Ochai Agbaji at the three, Silvio De Sousa at the four, and Udoka Azubuike at the five. Come at me with a better starting five.
Ooh.
Come at me with a better starting five. Oh, by the way, I'm going to throw Isaiah Moss off the bench, who was a double-digit scorer at Iowa. I'm going to throw you Jalen Wilson. I'm going to throw Tristan Inaruna at you. You know, I'm going to give you some David McCormick. And if they decide, you know, whether they decide to do, oh, I'm going to bring some Mitch Lightfoot as a senior. I'm going to throw some Mitch Lightfoot at you. I'm going to throw you some Isaac McBride, who's cat quick. I'm speechless. I don't know. I mean, listen, I can't remember the last time a team was that loaded. DeVon Dotson, Marcus Garrett, Ochai Agbaji, Silvio De Sousa. And we haven't even seen half as good as Silvio De Sousa is. I mean, you think he was good against Duke in stretches? And then Udoka. How do you defend Udoka? I've asked that and asked that and asked that, and I still haven't gotten an answer. If he stays healthy and everything comes together for this team, there is no reason why they shouldn't be the last team standing in March or in early April. And I hate to say that and so definitively, but that's just, I mean, that's how it is. I mean, that's just how I see it. I mean, I don't know if there's another team out there capable of matching up with this team right now. Will that change? Maybe so. I mean, will Kentucky come together or Duke or Virginia or another team in the Big 12? I don't know. Now, Kansas is going to have an off night. Listen, they're going to go to Manhattan. Sandstorm's going to be playing, and it's going to be wild, and there's going to be 14,000 fans, and it's going to be – I mean, it's just going to be – it could be one of those nights. You know, they're going to go to Ames, and Hilton Coliseum is going to be rocking, and Iowa State may hit shots that they haven't hit all year long, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. But I think at the end of the day, in a tournament of a six-game tournament, if Kansas is at its best, I just don't know. I don't know how they get beat. You know, they can do two bigs, or they can play four guards. They can come at you different ways, and there's you know, it's just a tough way, especially in a weekend tournament, to prepare to defend so many options. So that's my starting five for now. I'm going to stick with it.
That will wrap up our basketball portion of the podcast here on the Inside Slant. Thanks to our man, Shea Wildebor. Shea, that was kind of staggering there. That was so much information. I think I'm going to have to sit back for a minute and try to comb through it all. Thank you very much for everything. We will be looking for more updates on the boards. Take care of yourself, man.
All right, brother. Thanks, Randy.
That's Shea Wildebor, our Jayhawk Slant basketball hoops insider. We are now going to shift gears. I've got John Kirby with me. We are going to go football heavy from here on out. Get into some Kansas Jayhawk football. But first, I'm going to turn it over to Kirby, who, as we mentioned earlier, has an interview with one of the best in the business, college football expert Phil Steele, on the studio line with our man John Kirby.
Our guest is Phil Steele, and when it comes to breaking down college football, there isn't anybody better. I know I was waiting until late June to get the magazine the day it came out, and it's given me a lot of good summer reading. Phil, how you doing today?
You know, I am doing great, John, and you know, off air, you told me you've been getting the magazine for 21 straight years, so can't thank you enough for that.
You bet. Hey, well, it's one of the best guides I know I use even during the summer and during the season, so great stuff. Keep up the good work. You know, I'll just jump right into it. You know, give me your early assessment on what you see with the Jayhawks going into 2019.
First of all, I like the hire of Les Miles. I think Les Miles brings a national name to the program and can maybe get them out of this funk that they've been in. You know, ever since Mark Mangino left, the record has not been great, 18-90 since he left. Now, overall, the experience level drops a little bit from last year. Last year, they were number one on my experience chart, and this year they dropped down to number 65. You look at the defense, only about 50% of the tackles returning after having a veteran defense last year. And I don't think a lot of folks around the country know that Kansas didn't really play that bad a defense last year. They only gave up 419 yards per game and 30 points per game, which playing in the Big 12, that's not too bad. And offensively, you know, getting Puka Williams back at running back, I think, is a big plus. I know he'll miss the opener, but being back for the rest of the season, teamed with Khalil Herbert and Dom Williams, they have a very good running back core. Be interesting to see who comes away with the QB job, but they've got some talent there to work with. And Coach Miles was optimistic about the wide receivers. So you look at Kansas, they figure to be an improved team this year, but they have to admit to you, John, I did not call for them to get to a bowl game this season. I think there's still a little bit of distance and only 10 returning starters this year. Plus, generally when a new head coach comes in, there's a learning curve. He has to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses. Players have to learn new systems. And I think Kansas may go through that a little bit this year as well.
You know, let me ask you, Phil, you know, they've gone through a lot of coaches here in the last decade, but what kind of value does someone like Les Miles add to a Kansas program?
I think it's huge because, you know, Les Miles is a guy that has been there. He's won the big games. He's been on the national media, and I think everybody knows who Les Miles is. When he plops in a recruit's room, you know, a recruit's house, then you're looking at a guy that's going to garner a lot of respect. So I think you're going to see a lot of improved recruiting classes in the near future.
You touched a little bit on Puka and the running backs. How do you see the Kansas offense heading into the season?
Well, you got to think it's going to be improved. I mean, last year, just 23.8 points per game last season. I think the run game can get there. Coach Miles is confident on the pass game. So I think you're looking at an improved offense. Now, will it be one of the tops in the Big 12? I'm not going to put him up there yet, but I do think we're going to see some steady improvement. You look at what Kansas has done offensively, and basically they've averaged about 18 points per game the last 6 years. So any type of improvement would be good there, but I think this offense has potential.
I'm going to switch over to the other side of the ball. You talked about the tackles that are gone from last year. What do you see about the Kansas defense?
Yeah, I like DJ Elliott. He's a guy that comes in. He's switching them to the 3-4 defense, and they've got some speed on the defensive side of the ball. As mentioned, I don't think folks around the country, I mean, you just the national view of Kansas is everything is bad because they haven't had a lot of wins and things didn't look good. But I came way impressed with the defense last year, 30 points per game, and the big question mark is up front to me on that defensive front seven. They lose six of the starters off the defensive front seven. The secondary looks solid, but they're going to need some young players to step up and do well up front. Miles has brought in a couple of JUCOs, which should help the transformation. But generally, unless you're Bill Snyder in Kansas State, JUCOs don't reach your peak until the second year. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve up front on the defensive front seven. And I'm not sure they can match last year's stats, but I do think they'll be a decent defense, despite the only having about 50% of the tackles back.
The Kansas fans, hey, you know, in summer, Phil, in July, they're all looking at the schedule and they see, okay, we think we can beat Indiana State. We think we can beat Coastal Carolina. So I think the fans feel confident with the 2-0 start. But that game, that third game, is Boston College at Boston College on a Friday night. I know we're still some time away. Just give me your early thoughts on that non-conference game for Kansas.
Well, I think when you look at Boston College this year, they're a team that also is light on returning starters. They lose a lot from last year, but Coach Addazio is very high on this team. The star player is A.J. Dillon by far, and A.J. Dillon was not 100% last year. He looks to be 100% this year. They've got a dangerous quarterback in Anthony Brown. The receiving core, probably the best that Addazio's put on the field, and he always has a solid offensive line. Defensively, they lose some up front on the defense, much like Kansas. The defensive front four is probably the biggest question mark because the linebackers are solid, and BC comes into the season. When you look at that game, they'll be off of Richmond the previous week. It's a Friday, so they're going to be pumped up for this home game. Add it all up. I've got Boston College favored in that one, probably by about 7 to 10 points because they are at home, and I think Boston College is a bowl team this year.
You know, last question, just looking down the Big 12 conference, you know, without taking too much of your time, just break down the conference and just how do you see this thing shaping up?
Well, it looks like it's going to be Texas, Oklahoma at the top again, but there are definitely some contenders for that for the title game this year. TCU is a team that always has a bounce back year. You look at Patterson, he went 4-8 in 2013. The next year they very nearly made the playoff in 2014, 6-7 in 16, got as high as number 4 in the country the next year, and they were one of the most banged up teams in the country last year injury wise, and I think that's going to benefit them this year. Matt Campbell's doing a heck of a job at Iowa State, and it wouldn't surprise me. It does surprise me that he got 8 wins each of the last 2 years. That was actually the first time Iowa State has had back-to-back 8-win seasons since 1979, so it's been a long time. And I think Iowa State's got the quarterback that you want, Brock Purdy. They've got the offensive line is the best that Campbell's put on the field. And Iowa State had arguably the best defense in the Big 12 last year as well. So they're going to be a threat. And then Baylor, I think, is the last team that would probably threaten for the title this year. And I'll go back to last year's conversation with Coach Rule. As I was hanging up the phone, he goes, Phil, we're going to make a bowl. And I didn't really believe them. They were coming off a 2-win season. But lo and behold, they went 7-6 with a nice bowl victory. This time he says he thinks they can contend for the Big 12 title. So I'm not going to discount those chances. It is by far the best team he's put on the field. And they're going to be explosive on offense with a pretty good defense. I think those five teams are the main contenders this year for that Big 12 title. But Oklahoma, if they can get the offensive line up to speed, they were the Joe Moore Award winner last year, top offensive line in the country. They do have another transfer quarterback, but Lincoln Riley's a quarterback whisperer and just brings in these guys and gets them to win the Heisman 2 straight years. They'll probably be favored in all their games. And with Texas, I like the talent upgrade that they've been doing under Tom Herman. And despite the fact this year's team only has 8 returning starters, they are very talented and probably more talented of a team athletically than they were last year. They've got Ellinger back at QB. They've got some dangerous receivers like Colin Johnson. This is a Texas team that could very well, if they win the Red River rivalry, have a great shot of winning the Big 12 this year. So it's open, but right now heading into the season, you'd have to put Oklahoma and Texas as the two favorites.
Phil, you are the best. Everybody out there, you just heard it from one of the leading college football guys in the world, Phil Steele. Hey, Phil, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, John, always a pleasure, and great talking Kansas football with you today. Really enjoyed it.
That's some unbelievable stuff there from Phil Steele. The numbers he has on every college football team and just his depth of knowledge, what he goes through to scout everybody. His preparation is unbelievable, and that's why I'm a huge fan of the magazine. John, I got to say, that's a bucket list thing for me. I'm pretty stoked that we were able to get Phil Steele on. Let's get into some KU football recruiting right now, though. The only commitment that has come in since our last episode came from Magic Rector, a wide receiver from Lancaster, Texas, in the 2021 class. John, when you look at the man, when you look at Mr. Magic Rector, what do you see? What kind of prospect do you see him projecting at the Big 12 level?
So I'm going to start off a little bit of how he got to Kansas. You know,
okay.
He's known Emmett Jones since he was in the eighth grade. He went to a Texas Tech football camp there, and those two hit it off, and they've known each other since then. So I know Emmett Jones is a name we've brought up several times. We keep going back to him. Just the connections he's got in Texas is unbelievable. So that's one of those, again, that's one of those relationship/connection commitments from his past relationships that he's known. You know, he's a shifty kid. He's fast. He does a lot with the ball in his hands. They do a lot of things with him. They run some motion. They do jet sweeps. If you watch him on film, he does do some special teams. He also plays quarterback. And, you know, it's just not one of those deals where he's in the wildcat throwing the, you know, just running the football. He does throw it on film as well. And I'll tell you, when I watch his game, he reminds me a lot of the current Kansas commit, Malik Johnson, who's from the Woodlands. He's committed in the current class right now. And they're very similar, you know, a little bit smaller guys, but they're very electric with the ball in their hands. So, you know, that's a pretty early, that's a nice early commitment for the 2021 class. And just from some things I heard, I think this one kind of came out of nowhere. You know, Emmett Jones offered him back in January, and I think the kid just jumped up and said, hey, I want to be a Jayhawk. He hadn't even been on campus, but I do think he may come up for a visit next week. So we'll check in with him and see what he's up to.
That sounds good. Now, you've been doing some, you've already been getting into your position group breakdowns on the message board, kind of previewing what fans can expect as we head into, as we get, well, getting closer to the start of fall camp. You have the linebackers and secondary still left to go. I want to ask you if there are two position groups that you feel the best about and the two you have the most question marks. If you had to identify those, what would they be right now?
Well, the two groups that I like that I think would be the strength right now would be the running backs and the defensive backs. I mean, obviously, when you've got Puka back there and you've got Dom Williams and you got Khalil Herbert, I mean, that's almost, you know, that's all your production returning. And those three guys have all proven that they can, you know, they can play at the Big 12 level. They're all, yeah, they all seem durable. They all have each other. They complement each other in different ways. So, you know, the running back group, boy, that's one that I don't worry about. Now, obviously, getting Puka back was a pretty big deal in my opinion, because now you got three guys you can depend on. And I think Les Miles and this staff are going to want to run the football, and you may need all three of them. And if you don't get Puka back, now you go into the season with really Dom and Khalil. Well, your problem is there. Now you're sitting there thinking, we can't afford an injury. Because the minute one of those guys goes down, you really got one running back sitting there on your roster because you only have three on scholarship. So getting Puka back was a pretty big deal. You know, the running back group is stacked. I think that running back group at Kansas would be up with a lot of schools around the country. And then on the defensive backs, you know, you got, you know, Mike Lee and Tornadin and Davon Ferguson, Ricky Thomas, Corion Harris, Hassan Defense, Jeremiah McCullough. You know, heck, I hope I don't miss guys. But bottom line is, you know, there's some guys, you know, Elijah Jones, you know, there's guys there, Kyle Mayberry, there's guys there that there's so many of them that are coming back that I think it's going to be very interesting to watch in fall camp, the competition. And I think that's something that'll go throughout the season as well, because I could see certain guys that start week one that maybe – you see a shift in week two and week three where other guys come back and win the jobs. So those are the two that I feel real good about. And, you know, unfortunately, the two that if there's two that I worry about the most, I would say defensive line and linebacker. And when you look at the defensive line, especially on the interior, I mean, you lose Daniel Wise, 694 snaps. J.J. Holmes, 334 snaps. Keyshawn Simmons, 422 snaps. Isi Holani, who was hurt part of the year, 327 snaps. And, you know, Brian Lipscomb was really a guy who played on the kind of an edge rush type guy, he's 450 snaps. And then if you just take that down to the linebackers, you got Joe Denine, 820 snaps, Keith Loniker, 743, and then Osaz Ogbuber spelled those two guys. So there is a lot of production in that front seven on the defensive line and the linebackers that are gone. And that's worrisome, because that's one of those positions when you're on the defensive line, it's an experience thing. You know, you get your butt kicked in there a little bit, and you start figuring out how to play better. As a defensive lineman, you start figuring out how to shoot gaps, or, you know, you figure out things as you go along, and you gain that from experience. You know, there's still some guys on the defensive line, Randy, like Cody Cole and Jelani Brown and Azur Kamara. And, you know, Darius Moreng played some, and, you know, I've heard some good things about him from summer workouts. You know, he's a tall kid with some strength who you can see the potential. He just didn't put a lot of it together last year. Najee Stevens-McKenzie, Willie McCaleb, and, you know, I'll tell you what, even scarier, the guys that I just ran off, they're gone after this year. So you know, those guys are going to have to hold down that defensive line. You'll have some newcomers coming in. And then at the linebacker right now, I think, you know, if what I've heard and everything I can put together, your starters at linebacker are probably Drew Harvey and Drew Prox. And last year, Drew Harvey played in two games. He didn't even have any stats, but I do think he's got some talent and some ability. And Drew Prox played a total of 25 snaps last year. So when you look at that defensive line, the linebacker, they're going to have to grow up in a hurry.
Now, when we turn our attention to the recruiting trail, you know, the current class stands at 21 commitments. I know there really isn't a lot of room left for more. With that in mind, what recruits have you been watching the closest, and who do you think could be nearing a decision, if any?
Well, the two guys that I'm watching the closest, number one is Lawrence Arnold. He's a wide receiver out of DeSoto. He's a tall target, about 6'4", 6'5". And again, it's Emma Jones, you know, has known him for a long time, and I think they got a good relationship. And on the future cast, I've already projected Kansas as the guy to get him. So, you know, hopefully I've been having a pretty good batting average on that, so hopefully that stays true. You know, he's got Missouri, Colorado, Kansas State, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, and there's some others in there too that have offered. But I think Lawrence Arnold, I do feel good about him. He's one of the guys. And the other big-time name here, Brennan Scott out of Bishop Dunn. I know he narrowed it down to like USC, Texas, KU, Oregon, Auburn, and, you know, he's got 20, 30-something offers on top of that. So, you know, he told me, I just talked to him recently, he said he may set up a visit here after the dead period with Oregon. But, Randy, I'll tell you what happens to these guys. They get hit up a lot. Recruiting is sped up. They get a lot of calls. They get a lot of contact. And the big theme that I've heard from a lot of these recruits is wanting to get their decisions out of the way before their senior season start. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arnold or Scott at some point, I don't know, early to mid-August, or maybe before they kick off their first game in the month of August somewhere, I wouldn't be surprised if both of them say, hey, I want to get this done. I want to be able to focus on my senior season. So, you know, the earlier the better with Brennan Scott. I really think Kansas is in the mix with him. I think the Jayhawks, I have been close to forecasting him to Kansas. I'm just not ready yet because there's some heavy hitters still involved in that thing. You know, he's taken an official visit to USC already. They've been on him. So it's going to be a tight race. It's some big guys are hitting it on him. But I think Kansas is in good shape. And you know, just keep your eye out there. Keep your eye out there that you know, can't really get into it a whole lot, but there could be some movement in some other places. We'll just have to wait here over the next, oh, I think we'll know 2 to 3 weeks if some other things are shaking. But those are the main guys right now.
Those are some cryptic comments that I'm sure will get a lot of people's attention. There might be some other things shaking. That's a Kirbyism if I've ever heard one. Let's let everybody kind of marinate on that one, and we'll kind of shift gears here a little bit. We're going to talk again about Jeff Long and the big announcement last week. There were going to be beer and wine sales in David Booth, Kansas Memorial Stadium. What do you think of that move, John? I mean, you've been around Kansas football for a long time covering it. You've been to a lot of games both as a fan and as a professional. What do you think this does to the game day atmosphere in Lawrence?
Well, I have been there when I'm not in my work clothes, and I remember sneaking out at halftime to have a warm brat and a cold beer. So, you know, those days are over of re-entering, and I'm totally fine with that. I think it's a great call. Number one, Randy, they need revenue. They've got to, you know, bring in some revenue in some other ways. They're trying to build this football program, and I think this is one way that they'll do it, okay? Now, at the same time, I think it's a great move because it's going to improve the game day atmosphere. Obviously, what improves the game day atmosphere more than anything? Winning, okay? I mean, we've seen that. We've seen a couple coaches be able to win at Kansas, and the stadium just happens to miraculously fill up a little bit more when you're winning. But listen, the beer and the wine is big. Hopefully that keeps people there. The no reentry is big too. And what you hope is those people that go to their cars and then never come back, you hope it keeps them in the stadium. At the same time, you hope that the product ties everything there and keeps those people in the stadium. But I really like the move. It's been a long time overdue. And I know there have been people to try to do this in the past. And again, I don't know all the particulars on the inside, but I've got to think, you know, Jeff Long, he's got a great team there. Chris Freet, his associate AD, is a sharp guy. You know, he's probably in there on the front lines helping with him. But you also have to think about, you know, Doug Girard. I mean, the guy's a football guy. He wants to see football win. It's a priority for him. So you got to think he's been behind this too, because I've heard this has been tried in the past, and I don't know if it starts with the chancellor. I don't know if it happens to go to somebody higher than that about the getting the beer in there. But I heard it's been tried in the past, and they had no success. So I think it's a good thing.
Now, last week was the Big 12 Media Days. Day singular, but day is plural. And I know you have all of Les Miles' audio from the breakout sessions and have been posting video of the players. What did you learn from Media Day, if anything? Because I know you're as embedded with this program as anybody with any program really anywhere. Was there anything that you learned, anything that you saw, some new light shed on the direction of this program under Les Miles and what we can expect when the season starts?
Well, Randy, I hate to be that guy, but I think it's always a little bit of an inside joke with the media that, you know, fans just, they want to taste something, especially in the month of July. They just want some nuggets. They want something football, because you get through those dog days of summer, and thank heavens in June you had the big recruiting weekends since the recruiting's been sped up and the new NCAA rules, we had something to talk about in June. And then, you know, July hits and coaches get out of the office for a little bit and things slow down. Well, Big 12 Media Days, when you look back on it, really tell me what came out of it. Not a whole lot. And here's why. The players, the coaches haven't had the players since spring football. They really haven't had them in practice situations. You know, I used to joke the only thing that came out of good in July or the summertime was bad news. So, you know, what I did learn is, you know, I went through 80 minutes of audio to Les Miles. He was asked a lot about the reinstating of Puka Williams. You know, I thought it was interesting. He said at one time in the audio that it wasn't his call, that this came from above him. You know, one thing that was evident to me, he does like the talent. He thinks this talent's better than what some people think, and he likes the team speed. He thinks they're going to be pretty fast. You could tell he likes the running back group a lot, and, you know, he talked about his energy, and somebody asked him about, you know, how long do you plan to coach? And he said, hey, every bit at least 5 years, and, you know, maybe even more. And he talked about getting to the office early and leaving late and the grinding and things like that. So, you know, for people who sit there and question whether he's got the drive, you know, getting ready to turn 66, you know, he said he's definitely got the drive and he loves getting that office early.
John, I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Hold on a second. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's good stuff there. Kirby, let's end the podcast same way we did with Shay. We're going to get into some questions posted by our members over on the Memorial Stadium message boards. First off, beside Thomas McVitie at QB, what recruits from the 2019 class do you see having the biggest impact on the upcoming season?
Well, you know, the class wasn't, it wasn't a full class of 25. So one guy that I heard a lot about this summer, and I think you're going to see it on the field with him, Andrew Parchman at wide receiver. I think he's planning to do some big things, so I'll go with him. And I'll tell you, we touched on this earlier, Randy, the linebacker and the inexperience that's there. I think Gavin Potter, the true freshman out of Oklahoma, is going to get his shot in there to do something at linebacker at some point here early in the season. As you and I were starting this podcast, we talked about this literally off the air. It just came out that Malcolm Lee, he's my next guy that I would talk about being someone to watch, was arrested. So that isn't a good sign. So we'll have to see what comes from that. But he's, you know, 6'4", 260. He in that 3-4 defense, he fits in really nice as an in guy. So, you know, he's one that I would put on there. And then Caleb Sampson is a guy that I expect to, you know, see on the field early and often. And again, he's not on campus yet. So we're waiting for him to get there. But those would be four guys off the top of my head that I think have the best chance of contributing early.
Do you see Puka Williams getting 1,500 yards rushing and 500 yards receiving this year?
Oh, boy, I tell you. I looked it up last year. He had a little under 1,200 rushing and under 300 receiving. I'm going to go no. I'm going to say no. I mean, he's got the talent to do it. We all know that. But I'll tell you, with Dom and Khalil there, and I do think there will be a little bit more emphasis on running the ball, but still, you've got a loaded backfield, and I think they can spell Puka. He'll get some breaks in there. Obviously, he's missing the first game. So I'm going to go, it might be an unpopular decision, but I'm going to say no. And that's not based off because he can't do it. It's based off because I think there's some pretty good guys around him.
Okay, best guess on when Lawrence Arnold and Brennan Scott decide on a school then?
Yeah, you know, Brennan Scott kind of made it sound last time that it would be during the season. I really think that he and Lawrence Arnold at some point, I think we could see something come down in August. And I know we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about recruiting, but I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say before August 31st, both of them are going to decide.
August 30th. I'm going to hold you to that. And we will check back soon to find out exactly what happens there. Next question. What do you see as the floor and the ceiling for the Jayhawks on the gridiron this fall?
I would say the floor would be two wins. I think they're going to beat Indiana State and they'll beat Coastal Carolina for sure. I know I've done some research. I've talked to some people. And remember, Jeff Hoklinski, KU's tight ends coach, he was the offensive coordinator at Indiana State last year. So he's going to be well-versed on what they have. And they've got 10 or 11 starters coming back on their offense from an offense that averaged about 32 points a game last year. But this is different. When you think back to last year and Kansas played Nickel State to start the season and they lost, there's a difference between Nickel State and Indiana State. And when I say that is, when you go watch both teams on film, Nickel State has some guys. I mean, they've got some of those Louisiana kids they were able to get in. They had some transfers from LSU and Texas A&M. And when I look at Indiana State, I don't see those type of guys that they had at Nichols last year. They're a good, solid FCS team, but there would be no reason to lose to them at all. And then Coastal Carolina, I think, will be even a little down more than Indiana State. So two wins is the floor, and I think the ceiling, I'm going to go with six wins. I think it's possible. I think a lot of things would have to go right. I think some D linemen and linebackers would have to grow up quick. But, you know, if you're talking about what's the high mark, I would say six wins and a bowl game.
Okay. Who wins more football games from now until 2023, Kansas or Kansas State?
Boy, I'll tell you what, our fans were throwing out some good questions on the message board. I'm going to go KU. I'm going to go KU. You know, Klieman's coming in. He's taken over for you know, one of the greatest coaches in my lifetime. I mean, hey, let's face it. You know, KU fans may not like K-State and may not like Bill Snyder, but what he did at Kansas State was amazing. And I don't think it'll ever be duplicated. I don't think anybody will ever come close. So if we're starting with a clean slate and you got Les Miles starting at the same floor that Kleiman is, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put my money on Les Miles that he has more wins between now and 2023.
Some bold predictions between that and saying that by August 30th, we're going to know exactly what's going on with a couple of the biggest recruits still on the board for the Jayhawks. Kirby just kind of throwing some stuff out there today. Some real interesting information coming in both segments, the football heavy and basketball with Shea. That is going to wrap up this edition of the Inside Slant podcast. I know there were a lot of questions we didn't get to, but we will. We will continue to talk about different things on the message board and in future podcasts, so don't worry. I want to take a minute to be sure and thank Shea Wildebor and John Kirby for all the information. This was one of our most info-heavy, in-depth podcasts that we've had so far. I hope you enjoyed it. This is Randy Withers for the Inside Slant podcast, JayhawksSlant.com. Keep up on everything with Kansas Jayhawks football and basketball. We will talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawksSlant.com.